Okay, hope everyone's doing well today. Good to be with you guys. I'm currently training to run a half marathon in November. And I'll be real with you. There are a lot of mornings when I start running or go to work out, I'm like, I really just don't want to do this today, okay? There's a lot of other things I want to do. I want to go back to bed and all that sort of stuff. I don't want to get started, okay? And then when I'm running, there's a lot of times I want to quit. I'm like, my foot hurts, something else hurts, I'm tired, I'm grumpy, running stupid, why are we doing this? There are a lot of reasons and that I just want to quit. And there's this self-discipline in training to run a half marathon or training to run anything where I have to say no to what my flesh wants. My flesh wants more sleep. My flesh wants to be lazy. I have to say no to my desires, my fleshly desires, and yes to keep picking up my next foot and saying yes to keep going. And you've probably seen the same thing in a sport if you've trained to play any sport. Your flesh is saying one thing. I don't want to keep going to the gym, lifting weights. I don't want to listen to my coach. This is lame. This is boring. We're losing. Your flesh is saying a lot of these different things, but you have to keep going. I think this is one of the reasons why my wife is such a better runner than I am. She just has that mentality that I will keep pushing on despite the pain and frustration. And we should see this in a whole bunch of areas of our life, not just athletics. You see it with homework. Like, I just want to chill and watch some YouTube, watch a movie, play a video game, whatever it is. And I have to say no to the checking Instagram again and saying yes to getting my work done. Same's true with food, an area I'm not the greatest in with this. At family gatherings, right? My cousin makes this chocolate pecan pie, okay? And the question is not, will I eat a piece of the pie? It's, will anyone else get a piece of the pie after I've done with the pie? This thing is so delicious. And if that's like sitting in front of me, I'm going to keep eating. If I'm ever like trying to like lose weight or something like that, my kryptonite is chips and salsa. You put chips and salsa in front of me, Lee will tell you, man, when we're at a restaurant and there's a bowl of chips and salsa in it, and I'm like, I'm just pounding the chips and salsa, and they keep going. It's like they're there, and I can't, like, that ability to say no to the flesh is really, really tough. But we also see this kind of spiritually. Why don't I read the Bible in the morning? I'm tired. I don't want to. I'm distracted. I'm bored. It's boring. It's hard. There's lots of reasons. And we have to say no to the flesh and the fleshly desires and yes to God. We see this with sin issues as well. Will I, antagonize and annoy my sister, or will I submit to my parents? My flesh is saying, punch my younger sibling. She or he is so obnoxious. My flesh is saying, roll your eyes at your parents because what they just said is really stupid. Their rules are stupid. And I have to say no to my flesh. In the areas of sexual purity, the same way. And what we look at in media, in the issues of pornography, there's a huge area where we have to say, hey, I need to say no to my flesh and no to those desires. And I know in so many of those circumstances, it's really hard to say, hey, I'm going to resist that negative desire and I want to pursue a godly desire. But here's the thing with kind of all of those scenarios that we're going to be hitting on today. The more we exercise that muscle that says no to the flesh and yes to God, the easier it becomes. I didn't just start up and say, I haven't run in like 6 years, but I'm just going to go run 13.1 miles, half marathon distance. No, you don't start like that. You start small. I built up. Yesterday I ran 9 miles. And yesterday, I'm like at the last couple miles, I'm like, ugh. The first 6 miles, I was like, hey, This is cool. I got no problem with it. It's something that I am building up with. As you exercise, it becomes easier and easier. And I would also say it becomes more and more enjoyable. The more that you do it, the more enjoyable it is. If you've ever fasted, okay, gone without eating for, to be able to focus on the Lord, if you've ever fasted, it's that first and second meal that are the hardest to get over, okay? You're the first and second meal, you're like, you know, and I'm like, oh, I didn't eat lunch today. Man, I'm like, and then I didn't eat dinner, and then I'm really like cranky. But then after those first few meals, I'm like, hey, this isn't that bad. And you get over it. Same thing with daily reading the Bible. It becomes easier and easier when it is routine and your body is used to it. And I believe it becomes a desire of our lives. And I guess what I want you to hear, when we're talking about self-control today, it's all about this exercising and growing of this muscle that says no to the flesh and yes to God. And I was speaking here in senior high 2 weeks ago. Can anyone tell me my key question I ask you? I asked you a key question 2 weeks ago, okay? Come on. Yes, Bentley. Okay, that's somewhat of a paraphrase of it. Am I doing the things that I know that I should be doing? And we're talking about this virtue of goodness, kind of looked at what that meant in 2 Peter chapter 1. Am I doing the things that I know that I should be doing? And when I do those things that I already know that God has revealed to me that I should be doing, it really opens up knowledge, our knowledge. And God just really, I think God really speaks to us when we're obeying him already in the things that he has revealed to us. And that's what Bob talked about last week. Am I really pursuing knowing the real God, the fear of God, the knowledge of God, the power, the promise of God, the presence of God, and the power of God? And not just in an intellectual, like, you know, I learned a few facts on a Sunday, hey, that's cool, but really experientially. I think a lot of people know facts about God, but are we really growing to know the Lord? And the thing is, as we grow to know more about the Lord, there's more there that we need to apply. There's more that we should be putting into practice. And I think this is where self-control and that ability to, and that exercise of that no to flesh and yes to God comes into play. Because with this knowledge, you're like, God, I now need help figuring out how to live this out. And like we talked about it at Winter Retreat, I think this is the area where God transforms our desires. I know this is way long ago in February, but if you remember at Winter Retreat, we were talking all about our desires. And I think when we exercise this area of self-control, this is where I think God really transforms our desire. Going through our kind of key text that this whole series is based on, it says, for this very reason, make every effort. Really strive, put your effort into it. This is not just if I got nothing better to do sort of thing. And remember, the first few verses are talking about everything God has done for us and his precious promises to us. Because of those promises, because he saved us, we're to make every effort to add to our faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're here this week on kind of this self-control portion. We've got some more knowledge. We've been growing in knowledge. Now we need to have the self-control to live that out. And next week we're going to be talking about perseverance. And here's really my key question for us today. Simply this. Are you exercising the no muscle over the desires of your flesh and the yes muscle to the desires of the Spirit? Are we exercising? Note here, I'm not saying, are you perfectly self-controlled in all things? That's not what this question is. But are you exercising? Are you moving towards that self-control by saying no to the flesh and by saying yes to God? Let me pray for us, and then we're going to dive in to God's word. God, I just come before you, and I just acknowledge, man, as we're really talking about self-control, I know the self-control issues in my own life, and I know, Lord, every one of us struggle with self-control in different areas, Lord. And so, God, I pray that you would teach us today, instruct us from your word, change us today, that we would start exercising God, I want to pursue you, yes, to your spirit, and no, to the flesh. In your son's name we pray, amen. Okay, so we're going to start off and we're going to look at a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, okay? And I really want to talk about kind of why I think self-control is kind of so critical and so important, okay? And here's how 1 Corinthians 9, starting verse 24, it says this: "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it." Okay. Yesterday I was at a cross country race. There were hundreds of runners out there running, but only one of them got first place. And what he's saying here is you should train and run as if you want first place. Talking about this and taking it into a spiritual context, we as believers are supposed to follow Jesus as someone who wants first place. What does that look like? Well, there's an effort for the runner. There's an effort for the runner yesterday that the whole course, they had to keep going. They had to persevere. It was a hot day, and even though it was hot, they're going. They're persevering. They're keeping on going. I think there's a ton of running that's a mental sport. Second, what that looks like, there's a lot of training that goes on beforehand. You don't just show up and run a fast 5K. So you see, there's a self-control beforehand and a self-control during it, okay? If I want to run in such a way to win the prize, to win first place, there's a self-control that's exercised beforehand and a self-control that's exercised during the race. He continues in verse 25 and says, "Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable wreath." Now, looking at professional athletes, they're ridiculously strict in their training regimen. It's their diet, their exercise, their sleep schedule, and all those things. You know, at the beginning of every football season, if you read ESPN or a lot of the other like sports things, they always are like, "And this guy showed up to training camp today, and he was like 300 pounds overweight, and you could tell he hasn't been working out in the off season. He's going really, really bad this season." Or, "This guy showed up to training camp 20 pounds lighter with a lot more bulk and muscle, and he's ready to like tackle and take on the world." You know, you can tell their preparations during the off season. They're always talking about that. And if they want to be the best competitor out there, there is a strict regimen. If you want to win first place, they're exercising self-control in all things. However, what Paul is talking about here, and for professional athletes, they're doing it to receive a perishable, he calls it a perishable wreath. In the Greco-Roman, Greece Olympics, there's the word I'm looking for. The winner of the events would get a wreath, okay? And that's what he's talking about. They're just receiving a wreath that would go on their head. We're not looking for a perishable wreath. We are working for an eternal prize, something much greater. Side note here on self-control that just strikes me when he says, "I exercise it in all things." I have found in my life, and I think this is true for most people, I've read different studies on this too, when I don't sleep well, I don't eat well, okay? The tireder I am, the worse I generally eat. And I also don't want to do things like exercise when I'm tired in that. My point is, my lack in self-control in one area carries over into self-control in other areas and other arenas, okay? It's not just I'm self-controlled over here, but I'm totally out of control over here. I think our self-control in one area carries over into the other areas of our life. And I think this is really true with our relationship with the Lord. if I'm really lax about the media that I am allowing in, it affects my attitudes in a lot of different areas. If I don't want to read God's word, I know for myself I'm angrier at other people. And my point is, I just see that it's all connected here. He says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. And there's this huge connection that we have. Our world is always like, well, you know, that's just my personal issue, and it doesn't affect anyone else, blah, 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 blah. Not an issue, whatever. No, what we do affects other people. It affects kind of the whole mentality, our whole attitude. At a coworker at an engineering firm I work for, not a coworker here at RBC, and he was always like, Aaron, what's your big deal with pornography? Why do you think that's a bad thing? Like, look, I just look at it. It's not a big deal. I should watch it. Whatever. Why do you think that's an issue? And I turned to my coworker and I was like, well, tell me, after you've looked at pornography for an hour, how good are you at caring about your wife and your two kids? How do you think that carries over into the other areas? And he looked at me and he's like, Aaron, you're dead on. When I look at that, I leave more selfish, more arrogant, more demanding, and I'm rude to them. You know, what our lack of self-control in one area, it carries over into others. And so as we're talking about exercising this no muscle to the flesh and this yes muscle to the Lord, man, what you do in one area, it carries over into the others. And I think it's because my desires, the more I'm saying no to the flesh, man, my desires are changing as I'm saying yes to the Lord. Okay, verse 26 and 27, he says, so I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. He's not like, I just kind of randomly go like this. You know, I'm not going to grow in boxing if I'm just going to, like, punch in the air. I want to punch an actual punching bag or an actual person. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. He has a clear goal here. He's not aimlessly running. He has a workout plan here. And then he says, I will discipline my body. In other translations, he says, I will make it my slave. And the question for us is, is the flesh the master in your life, or is the spirit the master in your life? Are you controlling the flesh, or is the flesh your desires, your sinful desires, controlling you? Who's the master here? And in terms of kind of the why I think self-control is so important here, going back to the passage in 2 Peter 1, and the end result here is there is a fruit that eventually comes when we exercise that self-control. You will be effective for the kingdom here, and that's what Paul is saying here. Lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. He's like, I don't want to be disqualified. I want to receive the prize. I'm working for an eternal, imperishable prize, and that is what I'm working for in my self-control. Popular song on WGTS and Christian radio, Jimmy Kimmett, Prize Worth Fighting For. Think about these lyrics here. When every day is just another struggle and every choice is an act of war, gotta pray, gotta press on to the prize worth fighting for. I like that mindset that every day is a struggle. There's a struggle to say no to the flesh. It is an act of war, me saying, no, flesh, I am not giving in to the desires of my flesh. I am instead yielding to the desires of God and what God has for me. And it's a struggle. It's an act of war, and I'm doing it to press on for this prize, this eternal prize that is worth fighting for. There's a joy waiting for me in heaven. Just like I know when I finish a half marathon, there's that joy and that sense of accomplishment. When you play in your sport and you win, there's that joy in that. When you get the grade after you've put the work and you've studied, there's that joy and that pride that we have in self-control, when we exercise our self-control. So how do we do it, okay? I think most of us would be like, yeah, I know I wish I had more self-control. But how do we grow in this? How do we exercise that model? We're going to look at a passage for the rest of our time in Galatians chapter 5. I think explains a lot of that, okay? So, diving in, Galatians 5, starting in verse 16, says this. But I say, this is again Paul writing here to the church at Galatia, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, okay? And he's saying really clearly, here's the solution to your sin and your self-control problems, walk by the Spirit. And now the question is then, what does that look like, okay? And he continues in verse 17, he says, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Sam, Riley, come here. Come on up on stage. You're right here. You're awake. Thanks for volunteering. Appreciate it. Aren't these guys awesome? Come on, stand over here. You guys are so cool. They're like, why do we get volunteered? You know you love it. Okay. I know several of you have seen this example that I've done this before, but I think it's really clear in illustrating this point, okay? Anyone who is a believer in Jesus Christ has the physical side of their body, also known as Sam, and the spiritual side of their body, also known as Riley, okay? Now, if you both get down on the ground real quick, just get down on your knees. Get down on your knees. Sit down on the ground. Okay, before you are born, okay, both the physical side and the spiritual side of your body was dead, okay? Then your mom gave you birth. The physical side came to life, okay? Yay. Yay. Yay for Sam, okay? Then when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, when you said, Jesus Christ, I know that I'm a sinner, I have done things wrong, but you sent your son, Jesus Christ, into this world to live a perfect life and to die on a cross for my sins and to rise from the dead to give me life. When I place my faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done for me, it's not about any good things I've done, but what Jesus Christ has done for me, the spiritual side, the Riley side of you, comes to life, okay? And then eventually you get old and gray-haired and all that sort of stuff. The physical side of you dies again. The physical side of you dies. But the spiritual side of you lives on for eternal life with God in heaven, okay? That makes sense. Okay, I don't know why we keep changing. Okay, you stand back up. No, both of you stand up, okay? Now, here's the deal, and here is the tension here, okay? There are desires of the flesh, okay? As this verse talks about. And they're opposed to the desires of the Spirit, okay? While these two people make up your body, they kind of want to fight each other, okay? They don't like each other. They are in opposition to each other. And here's the thing. As you exercise your will in, you know, your self-control and all that sort of stuff, you and I, we have the choice. Do we feed the flesh or do we feed the spiritual side, okay? Clearly, this flesh has been exercised a lot, okay? It's been exercised, well-fed. There's definitely been some exercise going on here. It's not fair being compared to Sam, okay? There's nothing here. But here's the thing. We have the choice as to what we are feeding, okay? And when I feed the flesh by just giving in to whatever desires, when I don't exercise that no muscle over the flesh just gets stronger and stronger and stronger and says, well, we're just going to do what I want to do, and I don't care what anyone else thinks. I don't care what the Spirit thinks. I don't care what you think. The flesh becomes stronger and stronger, and it controls us. The more we feed it, the stronger it's going to become. Instead, we have to starve it out by saying no. Say no to you. Hand, talk to the hand. I don't want to listen to you, okay? And instead saying, yes. And when instead when we say, okay, Lord, I want to spend time in your word. I want to learn from your word. I want to spend time with you through worship. I want to stop and really meditate on the words that we're saying here on Sunday morning and let those truths permeate my life. When I'm in fellowship and community with other people on my Wednesday night small group and we're talking about God's word, when I'm just stopping and meditating on scripture or anything related to God and thinking about God's attributes, I am strengthened in this side. I'm giving him a workout, man. Down and give me 10 push-ups. Let's go. No, I'm giving this guy a workout here. You don't have to do that. I'm giving him a workout here. I'm making him stronger. And the spiritual side of my life is stronger. And now the spiritual side has got the force. And it's like, you talking to me? Do you think you're all big and tough? What's going on? You guys have been great. You guys can take a seat, okay? You need some candy? You need some candy? And that's why, because you have the flesh side of you, and because you have the spiritual side of you, that's why that exercise is so critical, and that's why it carries over into other areas. If the flesh is being fed by the way that you're looking at girls or something like that, that's going to carry over to the way the flesh is like, I don't want to listen to my parents. They're stupid. They don't know what they're talking about. We're tough. We're awesome. We don't care about anything else they have to say. The more we feed the flesh side of us, it's going to control other areas, all the other areas of our life, okay? And, you know, Paul goes on in verses 19, 20 through 21. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like that. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's warning them. He's making it really clear. These are the fleshly desires, and if we go after those things, if we give in to the flesh in those areas and make it stronger, there's the consequences associated with it. On the flip side, he gives us the popular passage a lot of you have heard, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And that fleshly list, the more we have said yes to the flesh, do whatever you want, those character qualities will come out in our lives. And the more we're saying instead, no, yes to the Spirit, the more these character qualities will come out in our life. And I want you to notice a few things, though, about this. First of all, it's called the fruit of the Spirit, okay? And by that, a tree doesn't sit around and be like, you know what? I really want to produce a lot of fruit today. We're going to work really hard. We're going to get all this hard work in. We're going to make a lot of fruit today, okay? The reality of a fruit of an apple tree or whatever is if you have a tree that gets sunlight, that gets water, and has nutrients in the ground, a natural byproduct of a healthy tree is it produces fruit. When it has the things that it needs, fruit just comes, okay? It's not like straining like, oh, I want an apple. Come on, give me the apple. I need the apple to come out now. Let's go. Where's the apple? You know? It's not like straining, oh, come on. We got to get this apple. No, like, it's a natural byproduct, man. You know, it's not like Sam lifting weights. Ooh, one more apple. No. Okay. But here's the point, okay? It is a natural overflow of our relationship with God. If I'm spending time in His Word, if I'm meditating on Scripture, if I'm worshiping the Lord, if I'm stopping and think about God, what God has done for me, the natural byproduct is these characteristics come out in my life. And real practical example for you from my life, okay? When it comes to worry, anxiety, okay? I'm sure none of you have ever worried about anything or anxious about anything, okay? Sarcasm, sorry. You don't just say, I'm going to stop worrying today. Stop it, okay? That doesn't work when it comes to worry and anxiety. For myself, it starts with me first saying, God, I want to remember how awesome you are. For me, that generally comes from repeatedly being in God's word and through worship, whether it's, you know, just listening to songs in my car or anything like that. That's for me where I'm having God's truth repeated over and over and over and over in my life. When I meditate on who God is, that for me is the exercise. And for you, there's different ways that you connect with the Lord, and that's awesome. You should do that. But it's me feeding the spiritual side. So first, if I'm going to deal with worry in my life, I'm feeding the spiritual side. I'm making the Riley side of my life just stronger and stronger and stronger, okay? And the other day, someone was commenting and was like, Aaron, a lot of times you end your prayers, most of the time you end your prayers with saying, you're God and you're good. Those are two attributes of God I just repeat over and over in my mind. You're God and you're good. 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 And those things just permeate. I repeat it over and over. Not that I'm crazy, but those are two things that I just always want to remember in my life about God. And so, first of all, I've fed the spiritual side. And then the second half of it is when those thoughts come, those anxious thoughts come, I'm really aggressive with them. I'm like, no, that's wrong. Shut up. I'm not listening to you. There's an aggressive saying no to the flesh. I'll get in Sam's face and be like, no, you're wrong. That is not aligning with God's truth. But that's only possible because I first strengthened the spiritual side, and then I can aggressively say no to the truth or no to the lie. And as I keep focusing on the Lord, it gets so much easier to say no to the flesh and yes to the Lord. As he says in verse 24, and all those belong to Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So the end goal is to really starve out the flesh. I'll give you a challenge. If you're really struggling with saying no to the flesh, okay, I would encourage you, I would talk to your parents first. If you need some more information on what this even looks like, ask Lee or Bob or Charlotte or one of your small group leaders or myself. I would encourage you to fast, okay? And the reason I say that, if you're really struggling with saying no to the flesh in some area, is it's just a really simple, practical way for you to exercise that no muscle over the flesh. And you'll see, man, I have all these desires. I just crave food. Food becomes infinitely so much more appealing when you're saying no to it. But it's a simple way for you to exercise control over the flesh. And I've just seen in my life the times where I'm like, I'm really struggling to say no to the flesh. Just how fasting for me has just given me the exercise in one area of saying no, and it's allowed me in other areas to then say no. Last kind of example for you that I want to talk about is the issue of authorities in your life, okay? Again, submitting to authorities, not really the most popular thing, and I also know is not really the easiest thing. Now, again, I do think there's a few exceptions to this. If you're dealing with physically abusive parents or parents that are telling you to do something that grossly violates Scripture, like if your parents are telling you to be an axe murderer, okay, we can have some discussions about this. This may not apply to you. But I'm willing to bet 99% of you here in this room, you know you have the God-mandated command to respect the authority of your parents, okay? And but man, you're like, why and how? Well, first of all, on the why, I do think your parents' greatest desire is for you guys to have a future that's successful. They're trying to train you up like your coach is trying to make you the best football player. I think your parents are trying to prepare you for the future. And I've worked with a lot of mid-20-year-olds that don't know basic math and, you know, can't tell me what 6 times 6 is, and that's really not pleasant. And you're like, why am I doing school? Anyway, they're trying to teach you life skills, okay? Prepare you for life. But how do I do that? Okay? How do I do that? Okay? And you probably realize there's some basic phases of that. It's probably easier for a young child to submit to their parents' authority because that's all they know. When you're 5 and 6, it's really all you know. Then you're a teen, you're like, I think I know a little more than my parents. And my parents are kind of weird and smelly and I don't know, whatever issues you got with your parents. I have my own with my parents. And as a teen, your flesh is growing more and more. And you're like, I don't want to do this. And then I do think it becomes easier as an adult because then I realize they weren't as crazy as I thought they were. But where you are right now in life, it will be a daily struggle for you. And I'm sure a lot of you are like, yeah, I get that. It's a daily struggle there. And that's where in the daily struggle, I would encourage you, first of all, it starts with you saying, I'm going to feed my spirit. I'm going to feed the spiritual side of me. What are the things that I'm going to do to grow that spiritual side? And then there are the moments where I have to very actively say, I really want to roll my eyes at you, Mom. I really want to say, you're an idiot, Mom. Dad, don't like this. But I will say no to my flesh here. You know, I'll wrap up with simply this, okay? I know 2 weeks ago when I was here, I was sharing a story that probably many of you heard before. I got another story that, again, I think a lot of you have heard before. But I think it just wraps up all that we're talking about here. When I was graduating from college, a lot of my friends were getting involved with different Christian ministries, and they were going to do that as a job after they graduated. And a lot of them were all getting into that. And I was graduating with my degree in chemical engineering, and I didn't have a job. A lot of the reason I didn't have a job is I didn't really look for one. So it's hard to get one when you don't look for one. Just throwing that out there. And I was like, well, my friends are doing this. I should do this ministry thing too, like, because that sounds like the good spiritual thing to do. And I told my parents. And now my parents still go to RBC, and they're very supportive of what I do now. But my parents were just adamantly against it. And there was a whole bunch of reasons behind that. And I could, if you really care, I'd get into it. Talk to me later. And they're adamant against that. And in my pride, I'm like, how could they even be Christians? Like, I want to go do something in Christian ministry. Clearly that's biblical. Like, what's the big deal? Why are they so against this? And I had multiple heated arguments with my dad, especially on it. And I'm trying to make this decision. I'm like, Lord, why shouldn't I do this? And I couldn't escape the truths that I found throughout Scripture, where it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God has given you. And he keeps repeating this over and over. And I was like, God, I don't want to do this. There's nothing in me that wants to do this. But because your word tells me to do it, I'm going to yield to my parents' authority. For me, that was the, you know, we're in this progression. That was the goodness section for me. And I do, again, saw how after I said yes to God in that, how God's, the knowledge kind of grew in me. But then it wasn't a one-time decision, okay? I then spent the next several months unemployed. And every day I woke up and I felt like I'm one pathetic loser. All my friends had jobs. All my friends are doing something. And I'm the one sitting here unemployed. And I'm unemployed because I did what God told me to do. And it didn't sound, it was not that fun. And every day it was this exercise of self-control for going from, for 4 months of this exercise in self-control. Because a lot of my Christian friends thought I had abandoned the faith and thought I was a loser. I had to just kind of daily, it was this daily thing of saying, God, I did what you told me to do. And I don't get it today, but you're good and you're God, and today I trust you. I don't get it. I'm going to keep on worshiping you. I'm going to keep on reading the word, and I don't get you today. I think it's all messed up. It's not working out the way I wanted it to work. But I will keep feeding the Spirit. Even though I don't want to, I will keep
obeying you. I will keep on doing what you told me to do. And as I just said, okay, Lord, I'm going to keep doing what you told me to do. I'm going to keep feeding this spirit. That flesh was kept on saying, no, you shouldn't listen to your parents. They're stupid. You should ignore them. But I kept saying, but it kept being like, I will follow God's word. And that self-control in that, man, I can tell you, has borne so much fruit in my life. And I don't have all the time to get into this today, but man, I see so much of God's hand in that decision. And I can't tell you how good of a decision that was, and it shaped me to who I am. But it required that exercise of self-control on a daily basis. And back to my key question for you today is simply this. Are you exercising that no muscle over the desires of your flesh? And that yes muscle, the desires of your spirit. And when you do that, the amazing fruit that I think is born in our lives. And again, I'm not asking you to be perfect, but are we exercising that muscle today for God's glory in his kingdom? Because that's where the God transforms our desires in our hearts as we say no to the flesh and yes to God. Let me pray for us. God, I just thank you for the time you've given us in your word today. Thank you for teaching us. God, I know for each student here, to each leader here, myself included, Lord, there's areas where we know we need to be saying no to the flesh and yes to you. God, I pray for those areas today. I pray, first of all, that we would know your good character in those areas. You're not trying to deprive us. You're not trying to keep something from us. You know what is good for us. You created us. You know everything about us. And because you are the creator of all, because you are the one who knows all things, Lord, we want to submit to you. Help us be overwhelmed by your character, by your goodness towards us. Help us to remember those things. Help us to strengthen that spiritual side of us as we remember your good characteristics. Remember what you've done for us. You died on a cross for us. Of course you're good to us, Lord. Help us to remember that. Help us to see that. Help us to live that out. And as we are struggling today to say no to the flesh, God, may that truth strengthen our spirit. May that truth empower us to walk by your spirit and not by the desires of our flesh, Lord God. Lord, strengthen us today to say yes to you and no to the flesh for your purposes, your will, and your glory, Lord. God, bless each one of these students here who want to follow you. Bless them with that strength to say no. And God, allow them to see your goodness when they do that. Allow them to see the fruit of saying no to the flesh and yes to you, Lord. God, in the same way, I know that I have seen so much fruit in my life because I said no to my flesh and yes to submitting to your word and to my parents, Lord. God, that was such a good decision in my life. You have spared me so much pain because of that, and you have so richly blessed me because of that. And I give you praise, and I give you thanks today. God, may our lives be just filled with worship for you today, because you're God, and you're good. In your son's name we pray. Amen.